QST, QST, QST. This is Bruce, KK5DO, and it's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays, well, some Tuesdays lately, to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur radio related items. This is net number 1674, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, August 25th, 2026, which in UTC time is Wednesday, August 26th, 2026, at 0100 UTC. Sorry, this net is only being heard on Echolink and our normal streaming service, as I cannot reach the repeater from my house. URLs for this evening's net are located at amsatnet.com. And we've got a really good list of URLs up there, and we've got a whole bunch of news stories that came through the AmSat News Service this week. It's ANS number 214, and we'll get right into those. The two astronauts that are aboard the space station, Anil and Sophie, who has the call KJ5LTN, ventured outside the International Space Station on Tuesday, August 18th, for U.S. Spacewalk 97, spending 6 hours and 23 minutes working to remove a failed space-to-ground antenna from the station's Z1 truss segment. The excursion also carried a historic note. ADNOT, that's Sophie, became the first French woman to conduct a spacewalk. Then I guess that's not going to be ADNOT, it's probably ADNO. But anyhow, we tried. The pair switched their suits to battery power at 8:29 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time to begin the spacewalk. The space-to-ground antenna, a critical link used to transmit high-rate data between the station and Mission Control in Houston via NASA's tracking and data relay satellites, had been unable to track the relay satellites since November. Both of them completed the removal of the failed unit and performed a long-duration tie-down of the antenna on the station's truss structure. Disconnecting electrical cables and loosening bolts took longer than expected, however, delaying installation of the replacement antenna, which is now expected to be completed on a future spacewalk. Near the end of the excursion, the crew performed cleanup tasks along with an inspection and swap of portable foot restraint near the Quest airlock before re-entering the station at 2:52 Eastern Daylight Time. The station continues to operate with fully functional space-to-ground antenna in the meantime. The spacewalk was the 282nd in support of station assembly, maintenance, and upgrades, the second for Minon, and the first for ADNO. Radio amateurs will recognize her as a familiar voice on 145.800 MHz just 6 days before stepping outside. She spoke with students at the Challenger Learning Center National Conference in Framingham, Massachusetts via ARIS. In keeping with the standard safety protocol, the ARIS radios aboard the station were powered down on August 17 in support of the spacewalk, with the service scheduled to be restored August 19th at 10:45 UTC. ARIS USA announced August 17th that Dr. Carlos Miranda has been appointed Director of Education for Amateur Radio on the International Space Station for ARIS USA. In the new leadership role, Miranda will help advance ARIS USA's educational mission and expand opportunities for students and educators to engage with amateur radio space exploration and the International Space Station. ARIS USA said Miranda brings more than 20 years of experience in formal and informal education, including developing STEM programs, leading professional development, and creating hands-on learning experiences for students and educators. And these little pauses I'm doing every about 3 minutes, I'm kind of stopping the echo link so that it doesn't time out repeaters. Education is central to ARIS program, which gives students around the world opportunities to speak directly with amateur radio licensed crew members aboard the ISS. The program combines those contacts with classroom and informal educational activities designed to introduce students to amateur radio, radio science, spaceflight, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. ARIS conducts approximately 60 to 100 amateur radio contacts each year between students around the world and crew members aboard the ISS. Participating schools and educational organizations typically prepare for contacts through lessons and activities related to communications, orbital mechanics, space science, and other STEM subjects before students have the opportunity to ask questions directly of an astronaut or cosmonaut. ARIS USA said Miranda's leadership will support its continuing efforts to inspire the next generation through authentic space-based educational and experiences and the unique opportunities provided by amateur radio. ARIS is supported internationally by amateur radio organizations and AMSAT organizations in the United States, Canada, Europe, Japan, and Russia. Together with participating space agencies and other partners, amateur radio volunteers provide much of the equipment, technical expertise, and operational support needed to connect students with crew members aboard the ISS. Let's see, there's a link about this announcement at ARIS USA. We've got that link up there. And additional information about ARIS and educational contacts also available at ARIS.org. And let me take a quick look. The last story that we did about the spacewalk, that came from NASA and space.com, so we want to make sure they get credit for that. Now, student-built JAMX-01 and BY-70-4 is set for August 25th launch. Two Chinese science education satellites carrying amateur radio communication systems are scheduled for launch from Taiyuan Satellite Launch Center on August 25th aboard a Long March 6C rocket. The first, known as Jing'an or Dreamstar, and carrying the JAMX-01 amateur radio payload, is the result of a multi-year education project involving students in Shanghai's Jing'an district. The project began in 2019 as an effort to give students hands-on experience with satellite development, radio communications, tracking, and spacecraft operations. Students and teachers are traveling to Taiyuan to participate in tracking and control activities associated with the mission. According to the IARU Satellite Frequency Coordination Database, JAMX-01 was developed by students from Jing'an District together with amateur radio participants. With support from the Youngster Activity Center of Jing'an District, Shanghai, the approximately 50-kilogram microsatellite will support telemetry, digital image transmissions, and an FM digipeater. It also carries navigation lights and a kaleidoscope experiment intended for science education activities. So, here are the frequencies for JAMX-01. Let me take a quick break here, KK5DO. Okay, 145.950 MHz is the FM digipeater uplink. 435.175 is the FM digipeater downlink. 435.075 is the beacon and the SSTV downlink. 435.500 is the telemetry downlink. IARU frequency coordination for JAMX 01 was completed on January 6, 2025. And Shanghai officials say the spacecraft is expected to operate at approximately 500 kilometers altitude. Project organizers also described several unusual educational experiments aboard the satellite, including a system designed to make the spacecraft visible as a flashing point of light, a kaleidoscope payload, and recorded youth voices for use in space-based broadcasts. A second educational microsat, BY70-4, also known as 8104, BY-04, and Harbin microsat, is expected to fly on the same launch. The spacecraft was developed by LilacSat team at Harbin Institute of Technology and has a mass of approximately 18.7 kilograms. Satnogs lists a high-definition camera, miniature camera, polarization camera, educational display, and short message transmitter among its payloads. The miniature camera is capable of JPEG and SSDV image transmissions. Satnogs currently lists a UHF telemetry downlink on 437.443 using 9600 BPSK with a format compatible with ASRTU-1. The spacecraft team has said in the Libre space community that BY70-4 is intended to share the frequency coordination previously used by BY70-3, which has re-entered. The public IARU coordination database, however, presently shows 437.443 coordination under BY70-3 and does not contain a separate BY70-4 record. Operators should therefore watch for any additional coordination or operating information issued before or after launch. And information on JAMX-01, the Shanghai Jing'an District, Satnog's information about BY70-4, and a launch discussion and spacecraft team information are all available at URLs at amsatnet.com. And we thank Shanghai Jing'an District Government, the IARU Amateur Satellite Frequency Coordination Service, Satnogs, and members of the Libre space community for this story. They certainly will have fun with that satellite. I'm kind of interested in seeing that kaleidoscope go by if we get a directly overhead pass on a clear evening. That might be kind of cool. All right, looking over at those that have joined us, we got KA5YFC, Steve, K6UTC, Endoff, K5BYT is linked in Saginaw, and KC5LWY, Andrew. And we've got Cynthia, AA9VV, listening in up there in Wisconsin. Okay, let's see. Here's a bunch of recently coordinated frequencies from the IARU. We also have a link at amsatnet.com if you're interested in looking at the links further for the satellite coordination. Let's see, UPMSAT-3, that comes from Madrid, Spain, and its coordination was completed August 10th. It was developed in collaboration with AMSAT Spain and the Amateur Radio Club of the UPM Telecommunications School. It will demonstrate the in-orbit operation of Genesis P, a miniaturized UHF-VHF amateur transponder intended for pocket cubes and educational amateur satellite missions. All amateur-related telemetry and communication protocols will be publicly documented. Okay, then we've got AYAME, A-Y-A-M-E, and that comes from Bhutan. And it's a 2U CubeSat with a full slate of missions. Headlined by Worldwide APRS Service on 145.825 MHz using 1K2 AFSK that can be activated by ground command for up to 720 minutes of continuous operation. It also carries a camera that will image Okinawa using magnetic attitude control with downlink photos published on a website, along with an on-orbit firmware upload and update demonstration and hand-built UHF radio equipment. That's rather interesting. Okay, then we got CPSAT, and that's from the Republic of Korea. And the primary mission is amateur radio service. It'll have telemetry, a beacon, telecommand operation, and an interactive communication function that lets licensed amateurs transmit predefined command messages and receive responses generated by the onboard software, including educational queries about the project and the spacecraft status. Experimental payloads include optical communication and attitude determination and control technologies. Downlink 437.265 and uplink on 145.835, and that's been coordinated. They're using BPSK 1K2, 2K4, 4K8 with AX.25. Launch is planned from Naro Space Center into an approximately 540-kilometer sun-synchronous orbit during the third quarter of 2026. So that's going to be coming up here pretty soon. Then we got Bama 2, and that's also known as UA Space, from the University of Alabama. It's a 3U CubeSat, and it's going to become the first satellite launched into orbit from the University of Alabama. It will conduct a flight demonstration of a drag sail module by rapidly deorbiting itself following deployment from the ISS, planned via Voyager in April 2027. The mission is a reflight of Bama 1, which failed to reach orbit in 2021. And was previously coordinated in 2023 before launch delays required resubmission. Downlink 437.460 has been coordinated. It'll be using 2K4 GMSK with AX25. So that sounds like a pretty interesting experiment. Because remember, satellites have to be able to deorbit themselves now at the completion of their mission, however long that may take. So there's a lot of experimentation on what can do that, what can do it efficiently, not take up much space on the satellite, because of course you don't want it to be the entire payload, then there's not much going on there. Okay. And let's take another pause here, KK5DO. Okay, Delphi PRISM. That's from the Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands. They've got a 6P pocket cube continuing TU Delft's long-running Delphi program. PRISM provides end-to-end space systems education while demonstrating upgrades to the Delphi PQ heritage bus flown in 2022. Of particular interest to amateurs is RAM-AS, the Radio Amateur Mailbox in Space, a digital repeater capable of retransmitting ground messages either instantly or after a predetermined delay, acting as an orbiting mailbox that extends the reach of traditional digipeaters beyond text-only messages. Additional payloads include a student attitude control demonstration board and a GNSS receiver for autonomous in-space orbit determination. Now we've got a few where coordination was declined. So Framsat 1.5 from Norway, that was a 1U CubeSat from a student organization, UHF downlink using 2FSK at 9K6, and an ISAR aerospace launch in the fourth quarter of 2026 was declined. The panel noted that the mission appears to be a technology demonstration for commercial entity rather than an educational or amateur project. Also declined, Galapagos UTE from University UTE in Ecuador. The satellite, which collects background radiation data and carries an ADS-B aircraft monitoring module along with SSTV image transmission capability, was launched in December of 2025, but its coordination request was not filed until July 8, 2026. The request was declined on August 18th as coordination is not provided for requests received after launch. And they've got a bunch more. There are six new ones that they're looking at, so we'll see what happens with those in the future. And this comes from the IARU Satellite Frequency Coordination Panel and AMSAT UK. All right. Okay, the Amateur Radio Society of Bangladesh is seeking support from the worldwide amateur community for its application to Bangladesh Satellite Company Limited, requesting the allocation of a dedicated amateur radio transponder payload aboard Bangladesh Satellite 2. The Society notes that such a transponder would provide an important platform for amateur radio communication, technical education, international collaboration, and emergency and disaster communication. The enormous popularity of QO100 geostationary transponder has demonstrated that a wide coverage amateur payload can do for experimentation and training across its footprint, and amateurs across South Asia and beyond would welcome a similar opportunity. An international petition of support is being circulated with signatures to be submitted to BSCL solely as evidence of amateur radio community backing for the initiative. By signing, amateurs express their support and their interest in using the proposed transponder for legitimate, non-commercial amateur radio activities, including technical experimentation and emergency communication. The petition was passed along by Matthias Bopp DD1US on behalf of Hasbul Hassan Saim S21HMX. A link to the petition may be found in the AMSAT UK story. We do have the link up at amsatnet.com. So another amateur payload aboard a geostationary satellite would surely be desirable, and that would be kind of neat. Then, if we get one that would cover the Americas, whether it be North and Central or the U.S. portion and Central and South America or wherever it may be, and get a couple more up there and then link them together, we could have communication globally through geostationary satellites, which would be rather interesting. Okay. The Huntsville Hamfest is hosting the ARRL National Convention. It's this weekend, August. It is this weekend, but that's only if we read this story last week, because it was August 21st through the 23rd. No need to go through all of this. So we will just skip on past that. I could have sworn, yeah, this is August 23rd is the release date on the story, so no idea why they put that in there. But such as life in the big city. And let's see. Okay. Radio amateurs support the earthquake communications in Indonesia and Colombia. So, radio amateurs have been supporting emergency communications following major earthquakes in Indonesia and Colombia, with International Amateur Radio Union officials asking operators to protect emergency frequencies from interference while relief work continues. In Indonesia, which is IARU Region 3, they reported a magnitude 7.7 earthquake that struck the East Nusa Tenggara region early on August 15th. Preliminary reports cited damage to buildings and disruption of normal communication infrastructure in several affected areas. Ajeng YB1BTM, the chair of the IAR Region 3 Disaster Communication Committee, asked amateur radio operators in Indonesia and throughout the region to keep 7.110 MHz clear for HF emergency communications. The frequency 145.100 has been used for local VHF coordination in affected areas. Operators were asked to give absolute priority to emergency and disaster relief traffic and to monitor without transmitting unless specifically requested to assist. The IARU, Region 3 Disaster Communication Committee, and Regional Emergency Communication Coordinators remained on standby to support additional requests for amateur radio assistance. Radio amateurs have also been heavily involved in communications following the magnitude 7.4 earthquake that struck Colombia on August 10th. Reports relayed by the ARRL and IARU Region 2 describe amateur radio clubs working to restore repeaters, maintain regional communications link, and support emergency organizations after cellular and Wi-Fi networks failed in the affected areas. In one case, operators in the Coffee Access region restored an emergency communication system within approximately 15 minutes after repeater power systems failed. Volunteers from Liga Radio Quinidio traveled to Cerro Campanero, a 3,600-meter peak in Colombia's central Cordillera, to work on strategically located repeaters serving both amateur radio and government risk management communications. Solar panels and batteries were being used in the efforts to restore service. So this is KK5DO. Okay. Other amateur groups made repeaters and equipment available to emergency agencies. Operators established communications at Red Cross facilities, fire departments, airports, and other locations. According to IARU Region 2 Emergency Coordinator Carlos Alberto Santa Maria Gonzalez, that's a mouthful, CO2JC, amateur radio infrastructure was used when other digital systems became unavailable. CO2JC asked amateurs to avoid transmitting in Region 2 on 3985, 7060, 7240, 7275, 143.00, and 21360. Stations within VHF range of Columbia were also asked to protect 146.520 from unnecessary transmissions. Because emergency communication requirements can change rapidly, operators should consult their latest IARU and National Amateur Radio Organization reports before using frequencies identified for disaster traffic. We've got three links up there on amsatnet.com. One goes for the Indonesia earthquake. One is for the Colombia. and a second one for Columbia. Okay. AMSAT UK's colloquium. It is fast approaching. It'll be held at the Kent Hill Conference Center in Milton Keynes alongside the RSGB convention. It'll be Saturday, October 10th and Sunday, October 11th, promising a weekend of all things satellite with lectures from both AMSAT UK and RSGB. One change this year concerns lodging and the social calendar. The Delta by Marriott Hotel near Kent Hill is not available for accommodations or the gala dinner, so AMSAT UK has booked the Wooten House Hotel, Newport Road at Wooten-on-the-Green in Milton Keynes, approximately a 5-minute drive from Kent Hill. Details of the hotel and available accommodations can be found at, I do have it up
on AMSATnet.com.
Now, the AMSAT UK Gala Dinner will be held at the Wooten House Hotel on the evening of Saturday, October 10th. The three-course meal with tea and coffee is priced at £39 per person. Attendance is restricted this year, and a limited number of tickets are on sale at AMSAT UK's shop. So you want to click on the link and go over there and purchase your ticket if you're going to be in the area and be able to join them. Thanks for AMSAT UK for providing that information. Orbit Deck for iOS enters public beta. Testers sought. A new amateur radio satellite tracking app for iPhone and iPad, Orbit Deck for iOS, is now available for public beta testing, and the developer is inviting AMSAT members to try it and share feedback. It was developed by Paul, N8HM. Orbit Deck is a port of the Orbit Deck desktop application, which in turn was a desktop port of many features unique to the CardSat project. It computes passes, Doppler, look angles, footprints, and link budgets for live orbital elements and adds orbital analysis, live space weather, and the classic Oscar locator tracking overlays. Features include a live look angles and real-time polar sky plot, next pass predictions, and a day-by-day schedule of your favorite satellites, a ground track map, all sky radar, and an animated 3D globe, as well as four-dial DX Doppler and a single-station Doppler playbook with per-satellite calibration, link budgets, a SatNOGS transponder database, mutual visibility windows, VUCC grid line and grid corner recognition with a live grid finder to walk you onto a boundary, MUF/HF propagation and NOAA space weather summaries, and more than 60 bench calculators. Orbital elements come from Celestrak and AMSAT, and cache data keeps core tracking working offline. Orbit Deck contains no advertising, analytics, or tracking. Testers can join the beta through Apple's test flight at, and I've got a link on AMSATnet.com. Test flight, a free app from Apple, is required, along with an iPhone and iPad running recent version of iOS or iPadOS. More information, documentation, and privacy policy are available, and I've got that link as well. So, feedback from operators on real passes, bug reports, feature requests, and usability notes is especially welcome during the beta. That sounds like a pretty power-packed little application Paul's developed. So thanks to Paul. He happens to be the AMSAT Executive Vice President, so we got to give him credit. Okay. Well, here's one that I had done. Make it 3 weeks in a row in three countries. me. KK5DO AMSAT Director of Contests and Awards has announced that AMSAT Rover Award number 95 has been earned by Juan Jose Ruiz, HK4X of Colombia, completing an international hat trick that has seen consecutive Rover Awards go to Brazil, the United Kingdom, and now Colombia, with two of the last three awards landing in South America. The region's satellite roving scene is clearly picking up speed. Welcome news for grid chasers across the hemisphere, for whom activations from Colombia's grids, many of them draped over Andean terrain that makes portable operation an adventure in itself, are prized catches. The Rover Award is granted upon accumulating 25 points from satellite operations in grid squares outside the rover's home grid. Each grid activation earns 1 point when worked through a single-channel FM transponder, 2 points through a linear SSB or CW transponder, and 3 points through a digital transponder, and activating a grid in a state, province, or DX entity other than the rover's own adds a bonus point. Rovers can add 5 points by publicizing an activation at least 24 hours in advance with public social media and tagging at AMSAT or pound AMSAT or via the AMSAT BB or this bulletin. So you can send your information to the ANS editors and they'll be happy to throw it up here. And you can get 5 more points by posting photos of the operation afterwards. While an activation made Maritime Mobile earns 10 points and a Stroke MM endorsement on the certificate. Ooh, I haven't issued any of those yet. Interesting. I forgot all about that. Don't tell anybody. In announcing the award, Page offered his congratulations along with his customary encouragement to rovers everywhere to keep on roving. So you can get complete rules and see everyone that's earned that Rover Award up there at AMSAT.org. There's a link to that, but the quick link after the AMSAT.org/AMSAT-Rover-Award. So there you go. And you can look at some of the people that are traveling, and they've posted things up at hams.at. It's https://hams.at. I even used that when I was operating for the FIFA. Every time there was a soccer match in Houston, I was operating the satellites for that, giving out a special call, and you get a special QSL for that. So voting is still in progress. Let me take a quick break here again, KK5DO. I hope I'm keeping the link repeaters happy. AMSAT members are reminded that voting remains open in the 2026 AMSAT Board of Directors election. 3 seats on the board are being filled this year. 3 candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to the board, while the candidates receiving the next highest votes will be the first and second alternates. Voting is opened on July 15th, and it closes September 15th. Election results will be announced no later than September 30. Current AMSAT members may review the official candidate statements and cast their ballots on the AMSAT 2026 Board of Director Election website, and I got a special link for that. I think I also have that up on AMSATnet.com. I think you can also get to it by going to the launch.amsat.org, logging into your account, and I believe there's a link in there. So, either way. Changes to TLE this week we have CO-128 Marmont SAT. It was incorrectly identified last week. The correct NORAG designation is 69912. And we had some scheduled contacts with the ISS. This one's August 29th, It's with Rockingham Scout Group in Rockingham, Western Australia. They're going to telebridge via ZS6JON, and they're going to talk with, let's see, who are they talking with? Jack, KJ5NIV. So they've got theirs coming up, and I don't see anything else listed here. You can get more information at ARIS.org, and I think we've got a link up there if you want. Otherwise, you go to the current status of ISS stations, and you get all that good information. Wyoming. So we hope it's somewhere near where Cynthia is. They've got their Wyoming HAMCOM and the ARRL Rocky Mountain Division Convention at the Best Western Downtown in Casper, Wyoming. That's coming up August 28th through the 30th. And guess what? I can say that's this weekend. And then, of course, the AMSAT Symposium in Jackson. Oh, they got a boo-boo on this. Got to talk to Paul. I think he's the one that did this news story. He just copied what was last week, or the week before, the week before. It is October 8th through the 11th, and it was going to be at the Crowne Plaza, Jacksonville Airport, but somehow between back when we signed up and announced and all that, they changed their name. They were rebranded the Wyndham. So, if you had your hotel reservation under the Crown Plaza, they did transfer them, hopefully, over to the Wyndham. At least they said they did. Now, we got some satellite shorts. And Kepler SET is a new open-source replacement for the classic Hollow Kepler utility. Allowing amateur satellite operators to build custom orbital element sets using the modern SpaceTrack API. The Windows and Mac OS applications includes a searchable satellite catalog and can export TLE, 3LE, CCSDS, OMM, XML, KVN, JSON, CSV, and HTML files. If you don't know what all those letters are, you need to look them up, because that's how all the KEPs are coming now. We're not really using two-line element sets any longer. They will still work for those that are below the cutoff when we ran out of numbers, but we've got the new ones. Today is the final day, which I don't know what today was. Maybe it was the 23rd, to work C6 AUB Philippe EA4NF as he wraps up his Bahamas satellite de-expedition on Sunday, August 23rd. So, ta-ta, he's left. So, I hope he had fun. We went, wife and I had a cruise over to the Bahamas last year, I think it was, and visited a friend. So, that was fun. But we did not operate. AMSAT UK has announced a vacancy for the editor of Oscar News, the Society's quarterly membership journal packed with amateur satellite information. Members interested in taking on this rewarding volunteer role can find details at, and we've got that link at amsatnet.com. And guess what? You can be a member of the AMSAT UK. I think there's a link over there where you can join. I think I did that last year, maybe this year, I forget. Ham SCI's Perseids Meteor Scatter CUSO Party wrapped up between August 12th and 14th. There was a second event in 2026 series studying meteor scatter propagation on 6 and 10 meters using MSK-144. So if you did participate in that, they're encouraging you to submit your ADIF logs and wave recordings of decoded pings to support the research effort. One event remains on the 2026 calendar, coinciding with the Geminids meteor shower, December 13th through the 15th. So if you missed one of them, here comes another chance to play with the meteor scatter. More information on that, hamsci.org/MSQP. So we thank them for providing us with that interesting story. Also, the link is up at hamsatnet.com. The Alabama Contest Group will once again put K4A, the 911 we do remember. Their special event will be on the air September 9th through the 13th, now in its sixth year and marking 25 years since the attack. Volunteer operators will take shifts, making contacts and collecting memories and tributes for amateurs on the air, with a special QSL issued for the event. Those interested in joining the K4A operating crew may contact Bob, WA1FCN. And, of course, that'll be his call at charter.net. Thanks to the Alabama Contest Group and Amateur Radio Daily for that story. Catalyst Space, the company that built Link, a grappling spacecraft that was trying to boost the orbit of NASA's Neil Gerald's Swift Observatory before it's destroyed upon reentry, has jointly called off its mission with NASA, according to an August 20 announcement. The company cited ongoing attitude control issues, but did not elaborate further. Even with reboosting out of the equation, Link will still perform rendezvous and proximity operations in the vicinity of Swift. So that story comes from Space News. And I got a link to that full article. During the last 3 years, an average of 270 orbital rockets have launched from Earth, a more than threefold increase from only a decade ago. By every metric available, the launch industry is crushing it. Prices have never been more competitive, launches never more frequent, and access to space never more rapid. And let me take a quick pause here. KK5DO. Paradoxically, though, there is a growing crunch in launch availability. With a growing number of constellations, big and small, there is a huge and growing demand. The Commercial Space Federation predicts that more than 37,000 satellites will need to be launched between 2023 and 2033, and there may not be enough rockets to carry them. This story comes from ARS Technica. You can read the full story with the link at amsatnet.com. The planned SatNOGS DB version 1.76 release remains delayed while developers wait for an associated SatNOGS network release. A Libre Space Foundation developer said August 15th that both releases were then estimated for the following week. The DB update will make a breaking change to the satellite API by replacing current, quote, future, quote, alive, and quote, dead, and quote, reentered spacecraft status values with future, in orbit, launch failed, and reentered. Developers of satellite applications using the SatNOGS API should prepare for the change. Version 1.76 will also introduce experimental structured transmitter parameters intended to support more dynamic decoding and flow graph generation in future SatNOGS software. As of August 19th, the public SatNOGS DB still identifies itself as version 1.75, thanks to the Libre Space Foundation and SatNOGS developers for this story. A community-maintained tiny GS firmware fork is giving satellite experimenters access to a complete station-side telemetry stream through MQTT, while preserving normal participation in the TinyGS network. The AUX MQTT version 0.1.0 release runs a parallel MQTT publisher alongside the normal TinyGS connection, allowing operators to send full packet data and reception metadata to their own Mosquito broker for processing by Cosmos C3 / OpenC3 or other MQTT clients. TinyGS highlighted the project in its August 18th community newsletter. The developer notes that the firmware is community fork and is not an official TinyGS release. So AMSAT thanks TinyGS and Aux_MQTT developer for that story. You can read the whole story from their newsletter with the link at amsatnet.com. And let me pause that there. Okay, 10-year-old Ronaldo Mangual, KM7HFU of Arizona, recently earned his technician class amateur radio license and received an unexpected head start on building his first station. The Maricopa Amateur Radio Association presented him with a donated Yaesu FT-857D HF, VHF, and UHF transceiver, an LDG YT-100 automatic antenna tuner, and power supply. Club member Steve W6DSM also gave Mangual a restored World War II-era J38 telegraph key to introduce him to Morse code. Mangual is a member of the Pinal County 4-H Amateur Radio Club and is now the youngest member of the Maricopa Amateur Radio Association. So thanks to the ARRL for that story. And that's going to wrap it up for this week. And yes, Paul, N8HM, was the editor. And I'll have to drop him a little reminder. So that's going to do it. And looky here, 8:52 in about 30 seconds. And I think that's about the longest I've had this net on, and with just the ANS bulletin. So we thank Paul for making them long. Let's see, I think we got WD0AKO, Dale joining us, NG5KUF, Rick, and I think that's it off of this list. So for everyone that's listening on Echolink and out there on the DishNet, we appreciate it. And let's see, the first and third weeks of the month, I've got my AMSAT Board of Directors go-to meeting, so I can't be in two places at once. Actually, three, because there's always an ARIESnet to check into. But, oh well, so until probably 2 weeks from now, 73, this is KK5DO, and that's it for this edition of the Houston AMSAT Net.